Well, on today's program, I plan to spend most of my time on a very important topic, give you some updates that are going on in the background, and share an example of the kind of things we have been fighting, let's say, in the news and political world over the past several years.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, my voice is still a little bit weak. We're going to try to get ourselves through today's program. I want to give you some updates in the background. Still don't have, and it's going to be a while, we now know, before I really know what's going on since the surgery I had just over a week ago. It has been a slow recovery this time. I am not sleeping well. I'm very tired, but I feel for at least the moment I need to continue on with this program. And I want to thank many of you that I've never heard from before that started taking the time this week for the first time to let me know that you actually do listen to Truth to Ponder, and where and how you listen and how long you've listened. That has been heartfelt and encouraging to me. Now, as far as how we maintain this program going forward, where my health is going to be, I don't know. I do know that there are going to be some decisions made over the next several days, maybe into next week. I don't know exactly how long. I'm getting a feel from the audience of what you think I should possibly consider doing. And I'm going to weigh that along with where I'm at and where God is leading me and what's important. I promise you that. We have been on WRMI, as you know, this where we started back in 2020. We have dealt with a number of issues over the years. And some of the emails that I've received this week have been humbling beyond words in how this program has influenced the lives of many of you. Many of you that worried and were ready just to jump on the vaccination campaign and think it was the thing you had to do. Gave you a little pause for thought, and you made your mind up after prayerful and your own research. I'm thankful that many of you didn't have to put yourself in harm's way unnecessarily, and that everything we said about it ended up being true. We defied the establishment when we said, it is becoming obvious the vaccine does not stop you from getting or spreading COVID. And then we challenged the notion that the vaccine keeps you from dying. And everything we said about both ended up being correct. That as a virus mutates, it becomes less deadly, just more infectious. And if the vaccine didn't stop you from getting or spreading, why bother? Especially when you do not know the long-term effects of what this vaccine could do. And yet those in authority, especially in the blue states, literally were like demonically possessed that everybody has to get jabbed. And they were willing to blaspheme Almighty God in front of people. I was born in New York State when it was considered the Empire State. Now it's just a dump. It's a garbage state because of the politics of that state. And I have to ask myself, how could you let that happen, New York? How could you become that stupid in a generation? And it finally dawns on me why. Two things. The good people have just given up. They think that they're outnumbered, so they don't even bother to fight anymore. There are people living all over New York State, from Nassau County on Long Island to Brooklyn to Queens, in the New York City area, upstate New York, Ulster County, maybe Wayne County, Onondaga County. I can name all these places all across New York State, from western New York to eastern Long Island, from the northern tier to the southern tier. People are just giving up. They don't think it's worth the fight anymore. And they're making their plans to retire and leave or move out of the state. One guy I read about made a statement. Yeah, I've just given up. I love the beauty of where I live in the Finger Lakes region, but I'm leaving in a few years, so I just don't care. You can do whatever you want. He stopped voting. He gave up, because I'm getting out of here. I'm moving to Florida, or maybe Georgia, or maybe South Carolina or Tennessee. Who knows? But he feels that he's no longer a part of the state in which he was born, raised, educated, worked, raised a family. He's getting out, and he stopped voting. He's let the clown class win. Now, I want to just take a couple of moments here to give you a good example of what I'm talking about. Probably the worst governor the state of New York could ever have elected is Kathy Hochul. And back during the pandemic, she was pandering to everybody, and this is at some predominantly, shall we say, minority church in the New York City area. And this is what she was telling this fully vaccinated congregation.
But I prayed a lot to God during this time.
The God Moloch.
And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers. He made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are.
Listen, you demonic creature. I don't know what God you prayed to about a vaccine or what message from what God you're getting. All I know is you're a phony Catholic. You believe in abortion on demand, so you are a Moloch-worshipping, basically satanically inspired individual. I don't know what God you're talking about. And people, respected doctors, were challenging this early on, saying something doesn't add up. And you were shutting them up to the demise of people that have died from this idiotic vaccine. And then Kathy continues on with her little rant and rave about how you need to be one of her disciples to get more people to do as they're told by, you know, Mommy Kathy.
I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out.
Stop right there. Kathy Hochul does not know what a real apostle is. She just doesn't.
And say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there. We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal.
No, Kathy. You never want New York State to come back to anything that resembles normal. You want a new normal. All of your disgusting and filthy ilk want a new normal. You love the control you were given, the power you were granted, almost like the Wicked Witch of the Western New York region. You had power given to you over your subjects, and you can't let it go. The new normal for you is, I have power. I have absolute power. You do as I say. I will defeat you. I will crush you like a bug. I will make you feel unwelcome in your own state. Remember when she said, if you don't believe in what we're doing here, just get out, move away. She told you to leave. And of course, in typical style of the demonically possessed class of delusional buffoons, they always fall back on systemic racism. I mean, if it's not pronouns, if it's not transgenderism, if it's not promoting gay weddings and teaching little children what gayness is all about before they even understand what sexuality is all about, these perverted, just poisonous, perverted people, they'll divide you with anything they can find, and racism is one of their favorites. But I want to show you something in just a moment. Here she now goes to this predominantly minority congregation, fully vaccinated, to talk about the important things we need to get back to as we get back to this new normal.
And then start talking about the real issues that we have to, fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today. And if there's a denier, I will take you on any day because I've seen it. I know it exists. And we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again, any longer under my watch. And that is my commitment to you.
Now, let me say something and make this as clear can be. Kathy Hochul is a racist, an absolute dyed-in-the-wool, pandering racist. She knows how to divide the crowd, knows how to say the right things, talks about systemic racism, and she is the racist. She doesn't believe that black people are as smart as she is. She thinks she's got to be like Mommy Nancy Pelosi and talk down to them. Because you don't know how to get a driver's license or an ID. You don't know how to do anything without her help. Matter of fact, you don't even understand computers. Listen to Kathy Hochul as she talks down to the entire black community.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
What a despicable, pandering pile of horse manure. I mean, how racist, how condescending can the Wicked Witch of Western New York sound? Yeah, you're the racist, Kathy. You are the God-hating. The God you claim to worship is a phony, fake, fraudulent imposter of a God. You're worshiping demons. You're not worshiping Almighty God. And New York State, this is what I have to say to you. And I want to talk for a moment here to the men in New York. We'll talk about the women some other day. The men. When I see some metrosexual, man-bun-wearing goofball around Manhattan, yeah, I know they vote Democrat because they basically are delusional. But when I see men in upstate New York, in towns like Geneva, Canandaigua, Auburn, and hundreds of others across the southern tier, Corning, Elmira, you've given up voting. You've even given up sometimes going to church. You feel defeated, but your reasoning is, I'm getting out of here. I don't care anymore. When you have in some parts of upstate New York, the conservatives, 60% of them stay home. No wonder clowns can win. No wonder buffoons can become your governor. And every time I see somebody that has given up, won't even try. Look, I'm going to get to another topic in just a moment that will overshadow this one. But every time I see one of those metrosexual, you know, man bun wearing buffoons walking the streets of Long Island or Manhattan, or, you know, even Brooklyn, wherever, doesn't matter, or a feminized man, just, you know, you've had your masculinity just cut away by Kathy. Every time I see one of you, whether it's the metrosexual buffoon or the so-called conservative that gives up, this little tune comes to mind.
Here he comes, that's Kathy's clown. That's Kathy's clown.
Now, if anybody lives in New York State was offended by what I just said, you needed to be offended. You needed a wake-up call. You needed to be reminded that you still have obligations if you live in that state. If you're surrendering and just giving up, you know, let them have their way. I'm getting out of here. I don't care anymore. If you got the short-timer's attitude, you're not helping those that live around you. If anything, You need to be getting disciples, so to speak, to say enough of this stupidity, this tyranny, this idiocy, this everything, all this horrible stuff that comes out of government these days. And church, I got news for you. Your day of judgment is coming. Well, Bob, you know, at my church, we're just a small church, and we get together and we worship Jesus and we sing a few hymns and we have a great message. Are you changing lives in your community? Are you encouraging people to find alternative ways of raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Look, I don't expect every little church in the Southern Tier or in any other place in the United States to just all open up a school, you know, kindergarten through the 12th grade. I don't expect that. But you need to at least be working with other like-minded Christians in partnership and stop your infighting, your inbred infighting. That's what it sometimes is. And get with the program that God has called you to do. You know, God will hold you accountable on how you raise children, how a church teaches children, empowers children, prepares children. And if you don't do it, you're going to hear about it. It's bad enough that established church bodies that once were bulwarks of the faith are now an anathema to Almighty God and blasphemers. They are enemies of the cross. They are synagogues of Satan. It's bad enough. But to have, just like the guy in upstate New York that I've given up, and we just kind of do our thing to get along, and I don't want to get anybody upset with me. And if your church is just hiding, you're keeping your light under the bushel basket. And Jesus forbids that. I'm just going to come out and say it. The church in America is dying. Many churches in America are already dead. Some don't know it, but they're deader than a doornail, and they're reeking and stinking to high heaven. I'm just telling you. People today have been given this watered-down, Americanized theology of garbage. You have some churches openly defying the word of God and basically cursing and spitting in the face of Jesus as he dies on the cross because they're celebrating the sin that Jesus is trying to take away. They're wanting to hold on to it. Or they talk a good game, but they don't want to offend anybody. Jesus really didn't care about who he offended or did not offend. And either should we. We should stop believing what Satan and the world tells Christians they need to be doing. When, you know, we need to love everybody. You heard Kathy Hochul say it. We need to love everybody. They don't even understand the word love. There are seven definitions biblically of the word love. And they just use the slushy, mushy, garbagey one for everything inclusive. We should love each other. We should respect each other. We should celebrate each other's diversity, and we should celebrate their sin because Jesus celebrates their sin with us. No, he doesn't. He condemns it and calls it out. Jesus did not eat, as I've read many a time, and you've seen it in the Bible. He didn't hang out with the publicans and the sinners and the drunkards and all that to be one of them. He went with them to call them out from living like that. And you have governments demanding you celebrate sin. You learn sin. You live and breathe sin. We have college campuses that have become nothing more than overpriced, I might add, indoctrination centers. Teaching things that are an anathema to God. And we wonder why our nation has so many problems. I'm going to just kind of run down a list here of the way I see the church and some of its major issues. Many of the formerly Stoic denominational churches are just gutted from the inside, and they are now synagogues of Satan. There's no, I don't see any redemption there. I really don't. And if you're in one of those churches, well, my grandma gave that stained glass window, or my old papa, he paid for one of the pews, or it does. I don't care. God's going to burn that place down because it's no longer of any value. When the judgment comes, that church is toast. And all those that are in there, that are still worshiping this new God and claiming it's the true God, they're going to hear those words, "I depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Get out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing." Then you've got what are called the seeker-friendly churches. I think many of them mean well, but they have compromised because they're so busy worrying about how you feel about yourself and feel about you and giving you, you know, an experience that they've lost sight of feeding you the gospel. Worship is not about you. It's about Almighty God. And there lies the problem. We have reversed the equation, which means the outcome is going to be baloney, nonsensical, garbage. I was reading a comment. I'm on a couple of these groups, you know, for small churches. And some of these churches are like the newer churches. And somebody was talking about streaming and saying, you know, it would be just easier to stream our message because of all the complexities with the music licensing. And this one person wrote, yeah, we need to have that music. Now, in their case, it is the contemporary music with the singer and the drum set and the praise band, and everybody just stands and sways to the music like it's a 1980s Phil Collins concert or some silliness like that. And I pointed out, and he said, we need to pump them up for the message, because if we don't pump them up, they'll never get the message. And I'm going, what pumped up the people on the day of Pentecost? It wasn't a rock band. It wasn't a wailing singer wearing tight blue jeans. It was the Holy Spirit. What is wrong with you, church? You're substituting vulgar entertainment for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you're doing. You're becoming an anathema to God. You are ripping down the gospel. You are cheapening it. You are weakening it. And you're killing your church. Because what happens when you begin that compromise? You may believe that you're just working in the Holy Spirit and you're just, you know, seeker friendly, and no, you are deceiving those in your congregation. You're giving them a false sense of security. And oftentimes in those churches, when you have people shacking up, oh, you never call them out. You don't want them to leave. You don't want to call sin, sin anymore. Might offend somebody. You become part of the problem, not the solution. Then you have some other church bodies that are holding on to their old traditions. Now, in what I'm saying is that they have locked themselves in a little period of time. The way it was back in 1953 or 71 or someplace, when the world was perfect in our eyes and our opinions. And they worship their hymnals, they worship their liturgies, and they wonder why they are shrinking, and they got a bunch of white-haired people and no young people. They can't get it. Why doesn't everybody embrace what we embrace? Because you're embracing everything but the core elements of the gospel. You are practicing a phony religion. If everything you were doing was so great and it had such dynamic power, the power of the Holy Spirit, in a country of 350 million like the United States, why do you measure yourselves in a handful of thousands? Apostate churches trying to be all things to all people, trying to just get along. Those that are worshiping the way things were, that have nothing to do with the gospel, a point in time that has nothing to do with the first century. and never understanding the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pick up on this theme tomorrow. I don't know how the program is going to be assembled, what it's going to sound like. I don't have the message from last Sunday because there is no message from this past Sunday. I had to stay home. I was too ill to be at church. But I want to thank all of you that are praying for me. These days and these weeks ahead are going to be a time of major decisions going forward. What should I spend my time doing? I said it on Monday. I'm tired of being just the newsman. I'm tired of just being the political commentator. I'm tired of just spending my time talking about the buffoons like Kathy Hochul, these two-faced, just reprobates. I'm tired of reminding people that they have a responsibility. I'm tired of a lot of it. You don't need me doing all the news. Maybe on some issues, yeah, but I mean, most of what I spent a lot of time talking about, sure, early on, I had been in the early fight during the pandemic. I was there. And I just realized from God something about all of this was despicably wrong. And I walked away from a pretty substantial income. I could have stayed for months at the highest income I'd ever made in my life, but my heart said, you got to go. God took the peace of being there away. And as I got away, it became evident that my feelings were justified and correct. And we launched the program during those early days of the pandemic. And then I saw the same thing coming together as I'm seeing today. Oh yeah, Trump's got it in the bag, man, Bob. Don't worry about it. We're going to fix it politically. What a bunch of buffoons if you think you're going to fix this nation politically. You're going to fix it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop believing in elections. They're just a reflection. And the problem is that our nation is reflecting evil and disgust and patheticism, just being pathetic. A pathetically weak and just a feminized church. That's what it's become, just an effeminized, worthless church. And you're going to fix it by electing somebody. No. Nothing wrong with the election. But don't you dare think you're going to fix anything for any length of time merely by an election. If you do, you are woefully deceived. And just like 4 years ago, somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, after the polls have closed, you're going to say to yourself, how did this happen again? It very well could. You're believing your own hype. Don't be made a fool. You're not going to fix it at the ballot box. You're going to fix it by sharing the real truth of the gospel. If you believe in what I'm trying to do now, I don't know how much longer we'll be on WTWW. It's up to you. I need to hear from you. You can support us from our website, truth2ponder.com. I'll give that information again in a couple of minutes. Or visit, you can actually mail a check or money order to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, 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 Virginia. The zip code is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia. Zip code 24319. I'll give all that information again in about 3 minutes. We'll take a break, and we will be right back. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The direction of your armor. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy. You're a Jewish connection bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get in a minute. In Ephesians 6, we're told to put on the armor of God. There's something real significant about it. There's the breastplate of righteousness. There's feet shod with the sandals of the gospel. There's the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. You notice something about that? The sandals face forward. The breastplate faces forward. The helmet faces forward. The shield faces forward. The sword faces forward. It all faces forward. Nothing faces backwards. So what does that mean? It means that if you're going to become victorious in God, if you're going to win your battles, you have to also face forward. Don't look back. Don't look behind. Don't run back. Don't retreat, but move forward continuously. As Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to what lies ahead. Press on to higher ground and to greater victory. Look forward in hope, a forward-looking person. Press on to greater challenges and greater holiness and greater godliness, greater faith, greater love, greater prayer, greater power, greater Messiah-likeness. See, the victory in God lies only ahead of you, and all your armor is made for it. And so you're going to be protected. You're going to be fine as long as you keep looking forward and keep moving forward. Only by going forward, moving forward, are you going to have victory. And you will, but press on. The victory is guaranteed, but you just have to press on. You're going to win the race, but you just have to keep going and press through. For the victory of the armor is assured, but only in one direction. Forward. One more. Ask for the armor of God. Now, what if you discovered the place where the lost Ark of the Covenant was? Well, a newly revealed ancient discovery just as awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire's Daily Spiritual Vitamins guaranteed to revitalize your walk. Or a free New Testament. How do you get all these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus real Hebrew name Yeshua and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gifts, you will be blessed. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will love it. But call now 1-800-YESHUA-1. The Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to join with me to bring it back to them. Bless those who blessed you. God says he's going to bless your life when you bless the Jewish people. And reach the unreached peoples on every continent through shortwave radio. It's amazing. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct at the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. It's a Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem. Look forward, move forward, go forward, my friend and Messiah, Tikvatenu, our hope.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Real quick, that address again, because I know a lot of people don't get a chance or they forget to get a pen or pencil. The website address is truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. There is a way to support us. You can use Give, Send, Go from the website. Or if you choose, you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie. Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia. 24319. We will try to decide soon how we're going to continue doing this program going forward. There's a lot of variables out there. And so many of you have written saying this program means a lot to you. So how do I continue? The same way we've been doing it? Maybe I can reach out to Jim Calhoun to help several days a week. I don't know how we're going to pull this together. Where do we put it on radio, podcast? A lot of decisions to make. And I need to be at peace where things are, where God wants me to be. What does God want me to do at this point in my life? You know, if you listen to Monday, I was at my wit's end. And I feel a little bit better, but I'm not getting any more than maybe an hour and 20 minutes sleep at a clip before I have to get up. And this is something I'll be dealing with for quite a while to come. It's kind of like everywhere we were when we began the worst part of this journey, we have reset ourselves back to that day. And so I just don't know what God would have me to do. And there are so many little projects that are in the back of my mind. I'll share a couple of questions with you before the end of the program, things that might be of a help. But for now, Jim Calhoun has agreed to help me once again. And he's got a great topic today. And I want you to listen carefully to what he has to say. It's not liberal versus conservative. It's not really even left versus right. Jim Calhoun will explain his thoughts of what it really is and the things that truly divide us. Jim, welcome once again to the program.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Today I'm going to be talking about, is it right versus left or right versus wrong? All across the United States, there are campus protests, some of them turning very violent. We have students protesting the treatment of the Palestinians, and they're protesting, demanding that Palestine is a free state and that the genocide stops. And the news media is all over these students and calling them all sorts of derogatory things, criminals and terrorists, and they're belittling them for their stance. Whereas some of these same students undoubtedly were rioting and going berserk during this Black Lives Matter fiasco that happened. And of course, if you said all lives matter, well, that triggered people and made everyone mad, because I guess all lives don't matter, especially to these people that condone abortion and all sorts of other things that are anti-life. But when elements of the same group protest against what Israel is doing, well, all of a sudden they're the enemy. And you have people on the right, they claim to be on the right politically, that are really going after these students as far as labeling them as undesirables and terrorists and other things they're trying to pin on these students. And it seems that the politicians on the far right are saying that these students are from the far left. So once again, the leftists in this country are trying to destroy anything on the right. And so they're trying to make it a right versus left issue. And I hate to inform these people that claim to be on the right when I do believe that people on both sides of the aisle are horribly controlled, if not totally bought off, by different elements of the Israeli government. And I generally do not side with students that are being disruptive. And I don't condone the violence, and I don't condone the vandalism and the things that this group should not be doing. But in my opinion, to say that this is a right versus left issue as far as the genocide that's happening over in the Middle East, I think it's a right versus wrong contest instead of a right versus left. I don't think I could be considered a leftist in any way, shape, or form. I've never supported any candidate that wasn't fully, 100%, totally far-right conservative. And while I don't condone what these students are doing as far as the destruction, I do understand the cause, and I actually sympathize with that cause, because I think that it's being falsely labeled as a right versus left issue, when it should be labeled as a right versus wrong issue. And what Israel is doing is wrong. And there are those who would say, well, what Hamas and the Palestinians did, that was wrong. And I agree. But also, two wrongs have never made a right, ever. And Israel is going overboard, way above and beyond anything that you would consider would be a reasonable response. And also, there's a lot of questions in my mind of how this attack that Hamas supposedly did back here last fall, there's an awful lot of questions as to why was the border left open? Why did different elements of the Israeli army and also their defense forces, why did they stand down? There are many questions to be asked whether or not there were members of Hamas that actually were part of this, but possibly that the Israeli government wanted to have an issue so big so they could have justification for doing what they're doing, committing genocide. There's a whole lot of questions behind the scenes that need to be answered. But to label all of these students as left-wing radicals that are trying to stop genocide, I think is a disservice both to the students, which, again, I rarely agree with the students. This time I happen to agree with the thought that they want the genocide to stop. But it's a horrible thing to try to get an entire political party, which in this case would be Republicans, to condone genocide. And I do not condone genocide. And also, the Republicans have let me down so many times. I haven't done it yet. I said I was going to do this a couple weeks ago. I haven't had a chance. But I'm going to register as an independent because of how the Republicans acted when they gave Ukraine all those billions of dollars and stood around waving Ukrainian flags on the floor of the House, where they just had that quote-unquote historic vote. They acted like they won the World Series or something. They were cheering and just giddy about handing over our money to a dictator that's just going to squander it. And I do believe that a lot of it's going to come back as kickbacks and in the pockets of those that were so giddy. I think that a lot of them just made a lot of money by voting billions to Ukraine. It's going to be laundered back through them. I smell a big rat there for sure. But what's happening to the Palestinians is inexcusable. I don't care if you like Palestinians or not. What goes around comes around. And what's going to happen eventually is that if we make genocide normal and lawful, genocide will just be another tool of how to solve a problem. Don't like these people over there? Kill them all. It worked for Israel. It might work for other countries. And those that stand by Israel, no matter what, well, you need to understand that you're not standing with the tribes that originally were Israel. What we have now is Israelis in name only. They're not Israeli by blood. I've already explained how I feel about all of that. Don't want to get back into it. But I do know that two wrongs don't make a right. And these same students that were creating havoc during the Black Lives Matter fiasco, where they were not shut down, where they weren't arrested, or if they were, they were bailed out by cackling Kamala and people like her. Some of these same students decide to stand up for Palestine, and then all of a sudden they're evil. Now the news media says that they're the enemy. Now who controls Hollywood? Who controls the news media? Who controls the narrative about Israel? What group of people on earth have special laws enacted that if you say something against them, you can be charged with a hate crime? I can talk bad about Germans or Russians or Ukrainians or Japanese or Chinese. I could say bad things about them all day, and it would just be my opinion. But if I would say the same things about a Jewish person, well, that's a hate crime. And so the Jewish people already have laws in their favor that are protecting them from everything. And right now they're taking advantage of this protection to commit atrocities. And when people try to hold them accountable, well, all of a sudden they're anti-Semitic. In some circles, me saying that there's genocide happening and the Israelis must be held accountable is considered hate speech. And the rule of law is totally broken. international law seems to be just totally trampled on. While I don't really like international law, you do have some treaties and you do have some normal behavior that's expected and also is down in certain treaties, and it's just the correct way to be. And all of that's being ignored. I would imagine that if any other country on earth did half of what Israel has done to the Palestinians, that country would be roundly criticized, sanctioned, censored, possibly even invaded. But since it's Israel doing the dirty work, well, you can't stop them, and you can't say anything against them. I've noticed that since I started talking about this whole Israeli-Palestinian conflict, that the number of people that subscribe to my podcast has dropped. Not dramatically, but I know it's dropped. And I can point right to the time I first started, we need to hold the Jewish government in Israel responsible for the genocide. There are people that automatically unsubscribed because people are so brainwashed that we have to protect Israel. We have to stand with Israel no matter what. And I don't care who it is. If they're murdering people, I don't stand with them. If they're committing genocide, I don't stand with them. And you might say, well, you're standing with the Palestinians and their murderers. Well, I got to tell you this. The same thing applies to them. When the Palestinians start murdering innocent Israelis, I'm against them. I don't think you can point to either side and say good. And most definitely you can point at both sides and say they're bad, they're evil things happening on both sides. I'm not trying to be a fence rider and be in the middle, but I can't be for evil. And I see evil on both sides. And for people to take the stance of one evil over the other, you might say, well, it's a lesser of two evils, which in this case it's not. Israel has gone way overboard on their genocide. But I don't stand for the lesser of two evils. If I have two evils put before me, and if I'm asked to make a choice, I simply choose neither. I'm not going to support evil. And I think the world is so full of people that are willing to support evil as long as it's their guys. If they have a D behind their name, you'll support them no matter what they do or say. Or if they have an R behind their name, same way. They can do no wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that I don't think there's any Democrats right now in any office anywhere that are even sane. I think we have some very evil people that call themselves Democrats. And it's to the point where if anyone says I'm a proud Democrat, I just walk away. I will not be associated with people that condone what the Democrats have done to my great country and have done to the innocent unborn. I just can't condone anything about the Democrat Party. Unfortunately, the Republicans have turned into Democrat light, as far as I'm concerned. There's probably only two or three Republicans that are serving right now and that are serving in Congress that I would even support at all. There's a lot of rhinos. A lot of them are there to get wealthy. And then you have your Mitch McConnells and your Lindsey Grahams that have no business being in government, let alone having power. And then this new Speaker of the House, this Republican that they put in a month or so ago, he's just horrible. But when's the last time we had a really good speaker? I would have to say Newt Gingrich. Other than that, they've all been basically Nancy Pelosi in a different body. They might have an R behind their name. They might be male. They might be totally anti what they say that Pelosi stands for. But yet when they get in there, lo and behold, about everything the Democrats try to put through, you'll have just enough Republicans that'll break away and vote with the Democrats. They tell us that they're representing us and that they're trying to have our best interest at heart. But in reality, it doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats, they're there to make them and themselves and their family rich. And one way you can prove that is just by looking at the net worth of these people before they hold office, and then look at the net worth after they hold office, and take a look at what their salary is, and ask yourself, how did they get so wealthy? It's insider trading. It's passing laws that benefit you. It's having inside knowledge of what's going to happen and then using it. Selling influence, selling your office. It's being corrupt. And I don't think that we have an uncorrupt government at all. I think we have a very corrupt government. And so I don't put any stock in government at all of doing the right thing. But since I see this whole conflict between Hamas and Israel, I guess I should say the entire Mideast and Israel, I see this as good versus evil. Again, I think both sides are evil. I don't think there is a good when you're talking about the Palestinians or the Israelis. But firmly using my philosophy of two wrongs don't make a right. And also, we should be standing up for the innocent people of the world, regardless of who they pray to and how they worship. You can go back to the Bible with the story of the Good Samaritan. And most Samaritans were considered not worthy. And so the fact that this Samaritan stopped and helped when no one else could, when no one else that had higher stature would stop and help, speaks volumes of how God wants us to treat our fellow man. And yes, the Bible does talk about committing genocide as Israelis left 40 years of wandering the desert and went into the promised land. But that's already happened. I've heard many people say, well, Israel's just cleaning up all of the riffraff off the planet, and so Jesus can return. And that makes me very angry when I hear such talk. The Palestinians, whether you agree with them or not, with their faith or with their politics or just anything about them, if you can't look at them and see human beings that were created in the image of God, by the way, if you can't see that, if you see an enemy that must be destroyed at all cost, well, it's time to recheck your humanity. It's one thing to be killing military people, but it's a whole other story when you're killing women and children. And those would say, well, Hamas is hiding amongst the women and children, so if they're going to do that, well, we're just going to blow them all up. It's kind of like the old saying, kill them all and let God sort them out. And there's so much of that attitude that's happening, it's just sickening. And so I think we should look at this whole Middle East situation as a right versus wrong issue. And doesn't matter how you line up politically with these protesters, if the protesters are actually getting it right for once, that someone needs to stand up for these Palestinians who are being murdered, in my opinion, I would have to say at least these students have the tenacity and they have the will to stand up and try to be heard. And so we have an awful lot going on. And everywhere you look, there's a conflict. Everywhere you look, there's a scam or something's happening that just isn't right. So you have to give everything the smell test. And the first thing you have to do is determine whether it's right or it's wrong. Every time you determine something is right, you need to stand by that and defend that and stay away from promoting the evil. And if anyone tells you that all Palestinians must die because they're not Christians, I've heard that too. Which my retort is, well, Israelis aren't Christians either. And so we have a lot of misinformation. We have an awful lot of things happening that just aren't so. So search your own heart, your own soul, your own spirit. And if something doesn't feel right, don't support it. I do believe God has given us all a mission. And also, I know that we're to love our neighbor and we're to take care of humanity. we're supposed to be salt and light. And too many people are jumping on the bandwagon of pointing at the Palestinians and saying that all of them are evil, they all must die, which is absolutely ludicrous. There's no such thing as a group of people that are totally evil. And with Israel bombing some of the supplies that are coming in to keep the people from starving is just another act of genocide. And I don't like the international court at all. I don't like the idea of it. I think every country needs to go by their laws. But in the case of Netanyahu, the war crimes that I feel he's committed, and people are trying to keep more Palestinians from being murdered, I have to stand with what they're coming up with, that Netanyahu is a war criminal and part of his government is, and I think they're going to issue an arrest warrant for him very soon. Of course, the United States is squawking and huffing and puffing and telling the world court, you better not do it. But I think the world court has had enough of the bullying tactics, and I think that the entire world is just sick of all of the double standards, the double speak. They're sick of the whole game. And I think it's about to come crashing down. I just hope everyone out there that's hearing my voice will do the right thing and prepare and live your life as right and as righteous as you can. Need to stay away from all the riffraff and the rabble. It's an awful lot of destruction that I see coming down the pike, folks, and you don't want to be any part of it. Well, I hope that the right ears heard this today. I would like to thank Bob Bierman for allowing me to speak to you. I do appreciate it. And so until next segment, everyone, stay strong. Stay informed. Don't blindly follow anyone. Make sure that you know that you are right, both intellectually, and also make sure that it feels good in your heart and in your spirit. And never, ever forget, replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for helping us out once again today and the wise words of wisdom you have been giving to this audience. If you appreciate what Jim is doing, let me know. You can send me a direct email, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com. I want to continue my thoughts about the church on tomorrow's program, and I think something is telling me maybe I should share some of the things that God has laid in my heart, these projects that need to be completed. Who knows? Maybe I'm talking to somebody that has wanted to produce their own program and has been looking for a venue. Maybe you're a broadcaster yourself and you have some things you could share even remotely in building this local radio station, which will also be an online station that I believe will be very unique as radio stations go. And we'll get into that tomorrow, so you don't want to miss tomorrow's program. For now, keep me in your prayers. If you believe in what we're doing, your financial support is needed now more than it ever has been since the beginning of this program. Would you visit the website truth2ponder.com and look for the support tab? Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio and the mailing address Post Office Box 510, the city Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Once again, you can support us from the website using Give, Send, Go, or use the mailing address I just gave. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. truth.com. Truth to ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.